what God has for us. So Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 and 6, and then 15 through 19. Blessed be the Lord, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before Him in Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace that He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. And I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints. And for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you, for as I remember you in my prayers, I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know Him, so that the eyes of your heart, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which He has called you, what are the riches of His glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of His power for us who believe. And it is interesting that as we study the teachings of Jesus, you see a lot of threes. Sociologists and those who have developed teaching technique had said that the best way to teach a lesson is to give an introduction and then to develop 3 points of, you know, what we introduced, and then to wrap it all up with a conclusion. And if you study the New Testament Gospels, you will find out that's how Jesus taught. Amen? He didn't sit out there and give these 14-hour orations that nobody's going to walk away from remembering. He gave things in a nice, tight, concise lesson so that we could grab it and we could learn it and apply it to our own lives. And one of the things that I noticed right away, that as Paul is writing to the Ephesians, to the church at Ephesus, that he is constantly using the full titles of the divine. When he speaks of the divine, he is highlighting their full power and authority by using the full title of Jesus Christ and of God the Father. And so, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. All right, in the Spanish language, we would say Jesus Christ. They have Jesus Cristo. All right, I mean, that's one word, Jesus Cristo, and that is the title. He is Jesus Christ, Jesus the Messiah, the Anointed One, and then Lord is who He is in our lives, and that's hard for us to accommodate into our way of thinking because not too many of us are used to having masters or lords over us. Oh, we might take a job where we've got a boss. You might find yourself in a military where there's somebody that has a higher rank than you do, and therefore technically has more authority than you do. But the bottom line is that we are born into a culture where, except for some of these circumstances, you have been given the freedom as an American citizen to go as far as you want to in attaining whatever your goals are in this life. And yeah, there may be some mean people out there trying to hold you back, trying to push you down and all of that. The neat thing about America is that there's really nobody stopping you. And when you go to places like India, it's different there. You're born into a caste. There's seven? I forget how many castes there are. There's 5 or 7. And you're born into a caste, and you will never leave that caste. Now, you might be able to go out and get a good job and make more money than your father, grandfather, great-grandfather, and great-great-grandfather combined in their lifetimes, because you have other countries that you can travel to. A lot of the Dalits, and that's the lowest of the caste, the untouchables in India, they travel over to the Middle East and they get jobs in Bahrain and Dubai and places. You know, just the menial labor there gives them more money than their counterparts back in India will ever see in a lifetime. But they will never break out of that caste. And so when it gets time to get married, guess who they're going to marry? A Dalit is going to marry another Dalit. That's just the way that it is. And even though traditions have relaxed just a little bit, there is still that underlying level of how things go. And it's all racial. The darker you are, the lower your caste. The lighter you are, the higher your caste. And so, I mean, there's racism everywhere we go, unfortunately. I thank God that Jesus Cristo, that Jesus Christ, was born in the Middle East. Amen? He's not a white guy. Unlike the pictures that you might have seen, doesn't have blue eyes. Alright? No, he is darker skinned, brown hair, brown eyes. That's just who he is. And I thank God that God is not impressed by color at all. Amen? But getting back to what we're talking about here, and when Paul is trying to open the eyes of the Ephesians to see what the new year holds for them. Let's just pretend for this morning that this is January of whatever year, A.D. 62, or whatever it may be, which is about the time when the letter to the Ephesians was written, and it was January, the beginning of a new year, and Paul is trying to open the eyes of those believers there in the city of Ephesus as to the possibilities that lay before them. Because that's what I want to try to do today for us here in this church, to open our eyes, to put off what the world has told us, to put off what people have told us, and even relatives can be mean. Even relatives, those that should love you the most, can be heartless. Amen? My family, and then Aunt Shirley, my father's older sister, her family, I mean, we were tight. We spent every Christmas together. And we did everything together. All of us cousins got our BB guns on the same Christmas. And a couple years later, we got our 22s on the same Christmas. And a couple years after that, we got our 410 shotguns on the same Christmas. I mean, that's just how tight our families were. And then all of a sudden, we didn't have anything to do with each other. And I'm saying, why? What has happened here? What's gone? Nobody's saying anything. What's going on? And I find out that my cousin had wanted to be a veterinarian. And my mother had determined that he probably didn't have the intellect to go to college. And so she just announced it to my cousin's mother, Aunt Shirley, that, you know, he can give up on that dream right now, because that ain't ever going to happen. And I heard that, and I thought, Mama, you're lucky you're in your grave right now, because shame on you. Why would you destroy somebody's dream? And who's to say whatever my cousin could have accomplished? Amen? For us to judge them and say, no, you don't have what it takes. I'll tell you who tells us what we have, what it takes, and that's our Lord God. He tells us, and I tell you what the Word of God says. He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that means if I don't have a lick of sense in my head, if this is what God has for me, I'll go to veterinarian school and I'll graduate from veterinarian school. Amen? But if this is what God has for me, don't ever, ever, ever be the one that destroys somebody's dream. Amen? That's not our place. We don't know what God has put on that person's heart. We don't know what God has planned for them. And if we come along and we destroy that vision, we destroy that dream, we just might find out that we're fighting against God. That is not an enviable place to find oneself, all right? And so, we see here, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ. That's where all blessings come from. Remember I told you earlier in the service, I was telling God what a good deal he got when he got me? That's right. Well, I can do this and I can do that. And I was a member of the National Honor Society. And I'm a sharp troop and blah, 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 blah. And that's what it sounded like to God. Wah, 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 wah. Alright? And I could just see some angels standing around, looking up at the Father and looking down at me in my oration of, the ultimate whatever. And they're just trying to, what's he going to do? What's God going to do to him, Are you listening to this, Father God? You hear what this guy's saying about, the nerve that I had. All right? To think I was all of that. We are nothing outside of Christ. We are nothing outside of Christ. And here, Paul is reminding us, he has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. Amen? He has, but because we came to him, now a few blessings are available to us. Because we came to Jesus, there's five or six blessings that we're now eligible for. Is that what Paul is saying here? No, he has blessed us in Christ with every blessing, every spiritual blessing. And you're saying, Pastor, does that mean that that's just a blessing for in church? No, you've got to remember, we were studying on Wednesday night the idea of the shadow and the fulfillment. And here on earth, the Jews had a shadow of the tabernacle when they had the tabernacle and the holies of holies and all that stuff. But the real thing, the real deal, existed where? In the heavenlies. It existed in heaven. And so, what is in heaven far outshines however God can give it to us right here on this earth. Amen? And so when Paul says that he has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, that means that if there's a blessing we need, we've got it. And it doesn't even need that. Doesn't matter whether we need it or not. Amen? He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Amen? That's ours. That's a done deal. That happened when we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Everything we will ever need is already ours. Amen? And so when you look around and you say, well, I would like to do this for God, but, I don't have the money. Well, I'd like to do this with God, but I don't have the right credentials. I would like to do this for God, but what that shows me is you don't have your eyes on God. Oh yeah, you'd like to serve God, but you want to serve God through the power of your flesh. Because you're talking about you, your abilities, your blessings, what you have, and how you can turn around and use them to bless God. God isn't into that. If he has called you to do something, he's going to bless you with that ability. Amen? He's going to make sure that he is going to sustain you, bless you, provide for you in whatever you need. Amen? And so, don't get caught up in what you can do. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Dale can't do nothing. Amen? Double negative. To highlight the double negative. And my mother's still rolling over in the grave saying, double negative, don't do that. She was an English major, alright? Okay. I would call her up just say, "Hey, how y'all been?" You could hear her gritting her false teeth on the other end of the telephone line. All right. Oh, my goodness. And we didn't know it, but we were best of friends. And unfortunately, I learned that just a little too late. All right. And I've lost, pardon me? Never too late? Amen. Okay. My little clip has come undone. There it is, way down there. Well, no wonder I feel it tugging. Let me go ahead and attach that right there. There we go. Now it's not tugging. Okay. Make sure that all of the slack is taken up out of that. There we go. Amen. I sure am glad Jesus didn't have electronics that he had to deal with. His 3.5 years would have been cut down to about 9 months if he had to deal with all the stuff that we have going on. All right. So this is the first. When we talk about, okay, we're getting ready to head out into 2025, what are we going to do? The first thing that we need to do is we need to prayerfully discover what he's blessed us with. Amen? We have to take an inventory. Now, you say, that sounds just so humanistic. That sounds so material. No, you have to know what you have and what you don't have. When I worked at a place called Fabmark where we fabricated these little fire sprinkler systems, and if somebody came along and says, "Yeah, we want to install a fire sprinkler system," well, we had to know what we had in inventory before we could sell it. And so we were always taking manual inventories. We couldn't afford to be off 1,000 feet of this or 500 sprinkler heads or whatever. You had to be successful in business. You have to know what your inventory is. All right. Now, of course, Walmart has perfected that. And now we have something that we never had back in my day, and that's called JIT, Just In Time. And that was developed by Walmart, and that stuff gets there just at the time that they need it. They don't have warehouses full of stuff. It goes into their distribution center, and it goes out of their distribution center. But you have to know what your inventory is. If you're going to be a general, and you're getting ready to go out and start on this campaign, you better know what your strengths and weaknesses are. Amen? You better know. You think before we had Gulf War I that they weren't taking some long, hard looks on what the state of our military was? You know, whether we had enough planes or tanks or whatever. They knew down to the nut and bolt what they had because they went over there with one purpose, to win the fight. All right, so if we are going to be victorious in our Christian walk in 2025, we need to take a spiritual inventory. And that inventory isn't just about the Word of God. One of the things that we need to do is we need to inventory, let's say, something as simple as your health. Do you know that Terry could do a little test here on every one of you? And I would almost bet money that at least 2/3 of you are dehydrated. Okay? And the reason we know that is because most people over the age of 55, when they go to the emergency room, statistics show us that the main problem is they're dehydrated. Alright? Which means they can't get an IV in you because all that stuff kind of goes away when you're dehydrated. And so we need to be looking out for ourselves. We need to make sure that we are eating right. There have been several couples living here in the Grand over the years where, we had a couple that was going to church here, and he just started wasting away. And he was losing weight. And so the grandkids come in and say, "What's going on, Grandma? Why is Grandpa wasting away?" And she says, "Well, he never says anything, so if he were to tell me he was hungry, I'd feed him something." Okay? And I, Well, you know, you can't really do that because sometimes we get to a point where we just really don't think about eating. All right? And all of a sudden, being conscientious about our eating and our hydration and things like that, it becomes very, very important because you don't need to be taken out of the game just before you get your great spiritual victory because something has happened. All right? And then, you know, so I'm not going to dwell too much on that, but then we need to sit down and say, okay, what is it that I have to share? Do you understand that God never asks anything of you but what he hasn't already put in your hand? Do you know that? And I wrote an article a few years back, what has God put in your hand? And so we have the story about Moses. And there's a bush on fire. And he's saying, well, there's something you don't see every day. A bush on fire that isn't burning up. I think I'll walk over and check this bush out. What did Moses have to his name? A stick. That's all he had to his name. And so he walks over there, and the voice comes from the bush, take the shoes off your feet, because the land that you're standing on is holy ground. And with that, God took that stick, that was Moses' stick, and began to do miracles with it. And after that, Moses never once called that his stick. He always referred to it as the rod of the Lord. Amen? And so, the only thing that Moses had was a stick. He gave that to God. And God gave it back to him, not as Moses' stick any longer, but as the rod of the Lord. And how did that rod serve the Lord for the rest of Moses' life? Man, wherever we're going, there's Moses. We've got to fight the battle as we're going in. Hey, gotta raise up the stick. We've got to cross the Red Sea. Got to raise up the stick. Anything that you're going to do, we need a drink. We're going to raise up the stick. Anything that needs to be done is being done through the rod of the Lord. And so, even though I just got through saying that God didn't get a great big surprise or a great deal when he got us, still he has blessed us with certain things. And we just need to get our attitude right around them. And so he may have blessed you in your younger life. You might have played the saxophone or the trumpet, or you might have played the guitar or the drums or whatever. And you would say, I haven't played that instrument for decades. Okay, well, do you think there just may be a particular reason why God allowed you to play that instrument in the first place? All right, so we need to look at these things. What abilities has God placed in our lives so that we can give those to him, and he in turn can use those things to bless those around us? So, He has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundations of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. And that's, we're going to stop with that little passage right there. You see, a lot of times at our stage in life, we look back in life and we see our failures. And we say, oh, I did this, I did that, and that was, you know, I was a failure at that. I was entrusted by the church to do this, and I failed at that. And we have a tendency to look back at our failures. Alright. That is a trick of the devil. Okay? God doesn't remind us of our failures. Amen? That's something that the devil does. And so, one of the things that we need to remember in this is that We have been chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before Him in love. Amen? You're not a failure. You're blameless. You're not a failure. You haven't failed. You're holy in Christ. We need to remember that. The devil wants to remind us of our failures. Jesus reminds us of who we are now. We are holy and blameless in love. That's how that holiness and blamelessness shows through our love. Because we are holy, because we are blameless, because we don't have a past. You ever hear somebody say, yeah, that person has a past. There are some skeletons in that person's closet. All right? We don't have a past, and we don't have skeletons, because we are a new creation in Christ Jesus. All things have passed away. Behold, all things are becoming new. Right here in January of 2025. All right? So, what I'm challenging us to do, even myself, I need to take an inventory. What is it that God has put in my hand? Right? It might be computer programming. It might be playing the guitar. It might be preaching. Whatever it is that He has blessed me with, He's holding me responsible for. All right? How can I use this in God's kingdom? All right? And I, as the pastor, I was telling Mary the other day, I'm the facilitator. That's my job in the church. You seek God and find out what He has for you to do, and then it's my job to help you find that. All right? I'm the facilitator. And so we need to determine what has God placed in our grasp? What has He placed in our grimy little hands. Let's figure out how to use that to the glory of God. Yes. Remember when we drove up to Joy's house, Dale was about 5 years old, and he had found a whole nest of garter snakes. And so he's got this bucket. He comes running up to the car as Tara and I pull up. He's got this bucket, and he reaches in, and he just pulls out a great big glob of garter snakes. He says, look at this, Dad. This is so awesome. And I said, I taught you better than how to handle snakes like that. They're all scared thinking that you're going to drop them because you're holding them wrong. And don't come crying to me when they bite you. 5 minutes later, you're right, Dad. Sucker bit me. Amen. I love it. He was so proud of that pail of snakes that he found. Well, I tell you what, I'm not worried about a whole pail of blessings. I'm worried about each one of us finding one thing that God has given us. He's placed it in our hands. Let's figure out how to use it this year for the glory of God. Amen? Because remember who you are. He has chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless. The devil, it's his job to bring up our past. It's the blood of Jesus that we claim to defeat that attack. Amen? The blood of Jesus has forgiven me for that Satan. That may have been me one time, but I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. The Bible says I am holy and blameless. Matter of fact, we need to say it together right now. Holy and blameless. All right, together. One more. I am holy and blameless. I don't feel holy or blameless. Paul didn't say, you better feel like you're holy and blameless. No, he didn't say that. He just said, it's a fact, you are. Okay, you are. You're holy and blameless. That's how it is. And as such, you have the ability to be used by God to impact others. And again, I'm not saying you need to go with me on evangelistic tours around the world or whatever. That ship has sailed. Alright? What is the one thing that God has put in your hand that we're going to dig out of the back of the closet this week? We're going to take that spiritual inventory and say, this is what God has given me, and this is what I'm going to come into church next week. Because guess what we're doing next week? We're going to take that one thing that we have found, or you may already know it, and next week we're dedicating it to God. Amen? We're going to dedicate that thing to God, and now He's going to give it back to us, just like He gave Moses back his stick, and it never again was Moses' stick. It was the rod of the Lord. Amen? And we're going to start seeing changes in our world. In our world. These are changes that can affect generations. Amen? There are grandchildren and great-grandchildren out there. A lot of our offspring, great-grandchildren, all of that, they're not seeing Jesus lived out in front of them. They're not seeing it. They're not seeing it in the world. They're not seeing it in their classes at school. They're not seeing it in their friends. They're not seeing it in their friends' families. Some of them, bless God, they're not even seeing it in their own families. Where are they going to see it? They're going to see it in Grandpa and Grandma, right here. Or great-grandpa and grandma, right here. We're going to be that influence that is going to change generations. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
All right. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can be a generational changer. I can be that source of change that is going to affect generations. Amen? Man, it's got to start sometime. It's got to start sometime. And it might as well start with us.